Okay, now we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and its operation in our life. We're going to go to John. The book of John is a good book about the Holy Spirit. You'll find that if you read from 14 to 17, it'll give you a really deep understanding of what the Holy Spirit is, who he is, his job, and how he accomplishes his job. Basically, Jesus sends back the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit like they did on the day of Pentecost, and they spoke in tongues, and they knew they'd had the Holy Spirit. You'll find that in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, on to about 8, and then you'll find it in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, onwards, and it says, as Peter spoke to the people at the house, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they began to speak in other tongues. And the people that came with Peter were amazed, and they saw the Holy Spirit fall upon them because they knew they got the Holy Spirit because they spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 19, Paul lays his hands on these people that he'd just baptized, and he prays over them, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they speak in tongues. So Jesus is giving He's giving this information to his disciples, and this is the last day of his life, basically. He was in the upper room. He just had communion with them, and just shortly after that, he was arrested and taken away. But just before that, he gave them a bit of a rundown on the Holy Ghost, and we'll just go through the scriptures. Basically, it says in John 7, verse 37, it says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.'" In 14, John 14, verse 23, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, 'If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, or our place with him. He that loveth me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me.'" So what he's saying is, what I'm telling you, this isn't my words, this is what the Father is telling you. He sent me, and he told me what to tell you. 40, verse 4, chapter 14, 25, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." In 26 it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So we know that Jesus is saying that when he said to his disciples, "Go and wait in Jerusalem." This was after he'd hung on the cross, and he was risen after 3 days by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he said to his disciples, "Go and wait in Jerusalem, and I will send the Holy Spirit unto you. And then you will be witnesses. You'll be able to go out, preach the gospel in power." He says in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Give I unto you, let..." No, we'll just do that again. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, Jesus is saying that the world's not going to bring you peace, but the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have peace if you press in and let the Holy Spirit guide you unto all things. Chapter 16 of John, the Gospel of John, verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truths. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And then in 14 it says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and yet shall not you shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. They were a bit perplexed about that. But really what he was trying to tell them is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, then they are filled with the Holy Spirit, as you read in Acts chapter 2, the first couple of verses. It says, and the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all gathered, and it says, and the Holy Spirit came and filled them, and they started speaking in tongues. Well, from that moment on, Jesus was with them, and he was showing them all that the Father had shown him through the Holy Spirit. And he said that the Holy Spirit won't promote himself, he won't speak of himself, but he will speak of what Jesus has got to give to you. So really, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he's not speaking to you of himself. And he is a person, he's the third member in the Godhead. But he promotes Jesus and tells you everything about Jesus and what he has for you. In chapter 17 of John, verse 20, it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Then in 22 it says, and the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. In 23 it says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. In 24 it says, Father, I will that they also whom thou Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So what Jesus is basically saying is that he wants them to know the Father as he knows them. He wants them to be spiritually in the same place as he is going. The Bible says that he is seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God. And through him, because we have the Holy Ghost, we're able to, through the Spirit, we're able to enter into that spiritual realm. And we're able to legally come unto the Father, holy, washed, and righteous. Because nothing unrighteous can come unto the Father. And we're washed clean through his blood. And because we have the Holy Spirit, we're able to enter in. And we're able to learn and be given freely all the things that the Father has for us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, that wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he hath heard of me. For John verily baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times of the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. It's an interesting Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I just read, But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto all the uppermost parts of the earth. So the circle is getting bigger and bigger, from Jerusalem, then out to Judea, then out to Samaria, then unto the uppermost parts of the world. So the epicenter was Jerusalem, where they received the Holy Spirit, and they got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and they went out unto their regional parts, preached the gospel, and then those people went out unto their parts and preached the gospel. And then those people went unto the uppermost parts of the world to preach the gospel. It says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And in 18 it says, And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in these days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth, and beneath the earth, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned unto darkness, and the moon unto blood, before that great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. In Acts chapter 2, verse 32, I'll just read that again. Now, this Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. They saw them, and they heard them speak in tongues. Now when they heard this, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exult, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they don't do that today, do they? And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So it's God that adds the increase to the church. We plant the word of God into people's hearts. Another brother might water it, but God adds the increase. God brings it to fruition. So the Holy Spirit is there to bring us unto all truths, to guide us and lead us, and to show us things to come, and to protect us, and to be our comforter, and to be our advocate. He goes before the Father, and he pleads our case. Now Jesus' blood has washed us clean if we're filled with the Holy Ghost. But the things that are in our lives that are difficult, he goes before the Father and pleads our case before the Father as an advocate would in a judicial system. And the Holy Ghost is a pretty good advocate. You're going to get the right things done. You're going to get the right things said. And as you would, maybe you would be supported by a man on this earth who is an advocate for you before a judge. Well, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. He's one of the members in the Godhead, the third member. And he is going on your behalf and pleading your case to the Lord, saying, Lord, I know he messed this up, and I know he messed that up, but you know he's washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know he's trying. And you know I'm establishing his heart in your ways, and I'm teaching him your ways. And he's catching on, and he's starting to grow, and he's starting to grow, and he's starting to bear fruit. And he's trying ever so hard to be humble, and he's ever so hard trying to understand what I've got to give him. If you've got someone pleading on your behalf before the Lord, who's the third member of the Godhead, you can't half but win. But then we have another advocate, not an advocate, but we have one that comes before the Lord and accuses us, and that's the devil, Satan. He comes before the Lord day and night saying, look, he didn't pray today. Look, you know, he passed that person by that you wanted to preach to. You know, when you told him to do this, he didn't do it. But the Lord is capable of establishing us and keeping us established in his ways. And he just holds up the blood and says, no, he's washed. No, he's washed. He's justified. Who I justify, I will justify. So the devil doesn't have a foot to stand on. Unless you sin willfully and continue to sin willfully, then he's got a case. And then things can come upon you, sickness, all sorts of situations, and curses can come upon you. But we have an advocate. So when we get on our knees and we ask for forgiveness, the blood washes us clean and we're no longer dirty, and the devil has no more foothold in our life. He really loses the plot every time. Okay, what we might speak about is the conversion experience in Acts. I think it's 31 different accounts in Acts relating to the conversion. And they're not whole accounts. They're all parts of the whole great picture. And, there are a few where there's the total conversion account. But most of them are just in basic fragments, which make up the whole picture. For instance, in 20 instances, just the hearing of the gospel is mentioned as a primary conversion. You'll find that in Romans chapter 10, 14 to 17. And in only 14 are we told that believing in Jesus was a primary requirement that they had already believed. You'll find that in Acts 2:44, Acts 4:4, Acts 5:14, Acts 6:7, Acts 8:12, Acts 8:37, Acts 9:42, Acts 13:39, Acts 16:31 to 34. Acts 17:12, Acts 17:34, Acts 18:8, and Acts 19:18. And in 9 instances is baptism recorded, and you'll find that in Acts 2:41, Acts 8:12-13, Acts 8:36-38, Acts 9:18, Acts 10:47, Acts 16:15, Acts 16:33, Acts 18:8, and Acts 19:5. In only 5 instances any description given of the receiving of the Holy Ghost and the manifestation accompanied that would be speaking in tongues. That's Acts 2:1-4, Acts 8:17-18, Acts 9:17, and the 1 Corinthians 14:18, Acts 10:44, and Acts 19:6. And out of the 31 accounts of the conversion, there's only a few in repentance. When people heard, they repented. You'll find that in Acts 2:38, Acts 3:19, Acts 17:30, Acts 26:20. Now the implications, you know, if you put them all together, you get the picture. But if you just take them in isolated cases, you can get a very disjointed view of what must you do to be saved. There is nowhere in the Bible that I know there where people just said a sinner's prayer and they were saved. There's nowhere in the Bible that I can find of an account where they did that and they were saved. Matter of fact, the Bible says that unless you have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. So without having the Holy Spirit and just giving your heart to Jesus, it's really not really going to cut it with the Lord. And even Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, verse 15, He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So that you have to be baptized as well. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, "And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now they weren't saying, "What shall we do to have a pizza?" or "What shall we do on Wednesday night?" They're saying, "What shall we do to get ourselves right with God, since we hung the Christ up on a tree? Since we stuck him and nailed him to a cross and whipped him and crucified him and treated him shamefully, what shall we do?" And Peter stood up and said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the promises unto you and your children, and many as the Lord God shall call." So basically, you need to repent, and that repent is turn about in your mind, change your way of thinking. That's what the Lord requires. Change your way of thinking. Yes, I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit and I'm going to walk in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to teach me all things, guide me under all truths, and I'm going to listen and do what the Bible says and what the Holy Spirit says and what Jesus says and what the Father says, which are all one. And they all agree. So if I get on that agreement line, we should all be happy. So I'm going to repent. Doesn't mean go and do good or make restitution to every single problem, every single bad thing you did in your whole life, to make restitution of every person you ripped off and stole from, every person that you ruined their life or whatever you've done in your life. Doesn't mean make restitution. You'll be there for thousands of years. No, he says, repent. It means turn about in your mind. Change your way of thinking. Don't go this way, turn around and do a 180 degree on your thinking. Repent. And be baptized. And when you get baptized, you associate yourself with Jesus' death. So you're buried with him, and then God raises you up in a newness of life, and you symbolically are given a new life. But in reality, you are given a new life, because the Bible says we are changed. The Bible says that we are a new creature through baptism. The Bible says that we are no longer who we were, but now We are a spiritual being. You may not feel too much different. You may not look different. You won't grow an extra arm or a leg or a different head. But you will be, to God, to the kingdom of heaven, you will be a different creature. You'll be a spiritual creature. And then the Bible says that you will receive the Holy Ghost, and he will guide you and lead you onto all truths. Now in the Bible, we know accounts that some people were baptized, and then they called on the name of the Lord Jesus, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. And those around them knew that they'd received the Holy Spirit. They knew they were baptized because they went through the water and they went under the water and came back up. But then the only reason they knew that they'd received the Holy Spirit is they heard them speak in tongues. And then there are other accounts where they received the Holy Spirit because they heard Peter speak to them. You'll read that in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. So Peter spoke to the went to this house. And he spoke to them about Jesus, and all of a sudden, they started to believe in what he was saying, and their heart was convicted, and the Holy Spirit interrupted Peter in his sermon and filled them with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues. So he said to the people that were around about him, "Can anybody stop? Can anybody forbid? Can anybody say no to these people to being baptized? Because they've received the Holy Spirit just as we have." Because we did, in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, we received the Holy Spirit and we spoke in tongues. So we'll just leave that there.